we're talking about what I think is like an amazingly and important and fundamental idea that comes out of a variety of parshios. The Torah in Parsha Bechukosai, we know, describes a tochacha, there's a rebuke which is there, and there's a bris found there which is associated with Maamad Har Sinai. And in Maamad Har Sinai, in Chorev, so we had a bris with the Ribono Shel Olam. Aside from that, in Parshas Kisavo, so we have another tochacha and another bris. And the Torah tells us here in Parshas Kisavo, Eila Dibrei HaBris Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, Lichros Es B'nei Yisrael, there's a certain bris, a certain covenant that Hashem made with the Jewish people, Be'eretz Moav, Narvos Moav, Milvad HaBris Asher Karas Itam B'Chorev. Aside from the bris that he made with them in Chorev, he made another bris, which is going to take place in Arvos, in Arvos Moav. That bris, some of the Rishonim even point out, does not end in the end of Parshas Kisavo, but as we'll see, it continues into the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim. We have a bris in the end of Sefer Vayikra associated with Maamad Har Sinai. We have a bris in Parshas Kisavo, which brings us into the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim. Many of the Mefarshim, Chazal already, for very good and understandable reasons, wonder why exactly there was a need for a new bris. Or, as the Ibar Benel points out, even if one assumes that it's the same, more or less the same bris, there seems to be a new component. There are certain shifts or changes. Why was there a need for a restart, for an additional kind of a bris? Milvad HaBris Asher Karas Itam B'Chorev. What exactly is the function of this second covenant? So we're going to suggest three ideas. The first idea will come from the Ibar Benel. The Ibar Benel points out that there was a fundamental difference between the bris at Chorev and the bris that was taking place here. The Ibar Benel points out that the bris in Chorev was a bris that the Jewish people were forced into. We needed to agree. He references briefly the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Peches, Kaf Aleim Har Kegiges, we were forced into this, if not, Sham Tehei Kfuraschem. But more than that, says the Ibar Benel, the first bris, they were sort of stuck in a desert. They didn't have an option. The only which they could rely on was Hashem. So they felt forced into it in many ways. So that was one bris. But that bris isn't binding the exact same way because we were forced into it. Says the Ibar Benel, so when were we actually buying into a bris? So we know from the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos that Chazal identified that particular period of time as Purim. That Purim is Kimu B'Kibu. That's the time when we did it B'Ava. Says the Ibar Benel, I think that Arvos Moav was a time when Klal Yisrael actually entered into that bris with a sense of Bechira Chafshes, with a real choice. Because if part of the reason why they were forced into it in the Midbar was because otherwise they'd be stuck in the Midbar, otherwise they would have no way of taking care of themselves. But now in Arvos Moav, they're about to enter into Eretz Yisrael. This is Moshe's, you know, the end of Moshe as they are moving into Moshe's physical life, as they are about to go into Eretz Yisrael. So there, now they in Eretz Yisrael, they can support themselves. They can get a job in Eretz Yisrael. They'll be able to build for themselves, not stuck in the middle of a desert. So here, this bris is a bris that we are doing, bivchi rasam, mibli hechrech. No one's forcing them into this. This is a bris that they are in many ways buying into. It's a bris that they are going to be agreeing to have. That's the Ibar Benel's mahalach as far as why we need a second bris. It's a bris you're forced into and a bris that you buy into. It happens to be, very, very briefly, the Maharal understands that part of it's a somewhat well-known Maharal, the reason why the initial bris had to be forced wasn't just for technical and side reasons. It was also a way of communicating to B'nai Yisrael, you really need this. There really isn't another option. That a bris and a sort of recognizing the primacy and the extent to which we are dependent on Torah was critical. But in Arvos Moav, we need an additional bris. And that's a bris that we need in which we are actively buying into it. That's a bris that we're going to have in which we are more proactively going to have and demonstrate our bechira for us to be able to choose to have. Rav Hirsch has a second mahalach. Rav Hirsch's mahalach is a very, very fascinating one. Rav Hirsch suggests like this. The people that we're talking about at the bris of Chorev were those that survived, those that left Mitzrayim. The bris that we are talking about now in Arvos Moav has some people still from that generation. Shevet Levi wasn't included. The women may not have been included. But most of the generation now that we're talking to, we're about to go into Eretz Yisrael, they're a different kind of people. They're different people. Refers, and if he reads it into the Psukim, and it reads very smoothly into the Psukim. What happened, and he takes this through the beginning of Parsha Nitzavim, also elaborating on it in a very powerful way, says, refers as follows. You know, there's a certain power of recognizing the Ribono Shel Olam through Yetzias Mitzrayim. These like absolutely miraculous, like wondrous, miraculous events that alter the course of history, that are done in ways in which a person could never have dreamed of these kinds of miracles. And says Rav Hirsch, we really were hoping, the Baruch Shalom wanted that to be, Kviyachal, all that we would need. All that we would need when we saw those events, and that would give us the chizuk to be able to make it through going forward. But we saw in the Midbar that wasn't enough. We saw in the Midbar that was not going to be sufficient to have seen Rav Bonoshalom pulling off those kinds of miracles. That wouldn't work the same way. The Bris of Chorev was a Bris predicated on recognizing Hashem in these sort of unbelievable kinds of events, the Esther Makos, Vechule. All of that, says Rav Hirsch, was very, very powerful. But Ela Amurim Hayu Lahaspik Kedei Laviachem Lidei Yid Hashem. It should have been enough, but we saw Shavar Tamiyah Pitaim Lois Bik Kedei Lachanech Osam. It didn't do the same way. It wasn't as effective. As Torah's going to say later on, because we didn't sufficiently have a Lev Ladas Ve'Naim Liros Vaznaim Lashmoi. We weren't able to internalize it the same way. This bris is a different kind of bris. This bris, suggests Rav Hirsch, is the bris of a people that are entering Eretz Yisrael and are going to be able to see a Ribono Sha'olam, not just in the wondrous times of Eser Makos. They can see Hashem takes care of them and is always there for them day in, day out in the Midbar and day in, day out as they enter into Eretz Yisrael. It's predicated not only on the miraculous once in a world, I guess, kinds of miracles like Yetzias Mitzrayim, but even in the day to day, they're going to be able to see the Koach of Hashem in all of those places. In order to be able to understand that Ribono Sholem is Me'al Hakol Uvecholzos Hakarov El Hakol, that God is above everything, He's also very close. Parsh Nitzav, and the continuation of this, it is about the world of Tshuva, Ki Karov Elecha Hadavar, a certain kind of closeness which is there, and something which is there and in many ways present at all times. To just rehearse, that's the two bris. One bris is predicated on wild, miraculous. Second bris is seeing the Hashgacha of Hashem, even in the day-to-day, being able to see Hashem is involved, but it may not involve the same kinds of altering nature that we are used to. So writes his first follows, Kol ha'iruma eila she'avru aleichem b'mitzrayim u'v'midbar, beginning of Parshat Nitzavim, v'tzu heite b'vavim yizdi Hashem salachem. Those amazing events in Mitzrayim, they certainly established the foundation of Yedias Hashem, and they showed us the extent of God's Hashgacha, but the point is to always be able to remember that. La'olam u'shmartim, remember the bris, la'olam lo ya'alimu b'nechem d'ri'a bris zos, never to forget Hashem's role in all of these things. So we have the Abba Rinel, first Mahalach, second Mahalach, Mahalach over first. Here's a third Mahalach, which is based on an idea really from Rav Soloveitchik. It's quoted in a couple of places, and some of his Talmidim take it and add a little bit. Rav Shechter elaborates this, Rav Shechter on the Parsha. It's there, Rabbi David, Rav Shiva of Torah Shraga, very, very impressive Talmachachim, Rabbi David and his Sefer, Drosh Darash Yosef, I believe that's what it's called, in the Parsha Kisav has it also. I imagine it's both in the Hebrew and English edition, because Hebrew is a translation of the English. Rabbi David and Shechter, again, they all have slightly different Mekoros, both try to present more or less a particular kind of an approach based at least on a lot of Rav Soloveitchik really coming from the Rav. The Sifri has an observation, the kind of the Sefiras HaOmer. It's one that at the Gra emphasized a lot. Chumash sometimes speaks to Bnei Yisrael in Lashon Yachid, and sometimes speaks to Bnei Yisrael in Lashon Rabim. When it speaks to Am Yisrael in Lashon Rabim, it's speaking to each individual member of Klal Yisrael. It refers to them in the multitude, speaking to all of Bnei Yisrael as individuals that are there. When the Ribono Shel Olam speaks to Klal Yisrael in Lashon Yachid, that speaks to the singular entity of Klal Yisrael, you as one. The V'yichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, that Bnei Yisrael is really integrated, we speak in Lashon Yachid. That is the core difference, they suggest, between Parshas Bechukosai and Parshas Kisavo leading into Parshas Nitzavim. Bechukosai is referring to Lashon Rabim. Bechukosai, that's at Har Sinai, that's where Klal Yisrael, we'll elaborate in a second, may have been an idea called Klal Yisrael being from the Yisrael, but halachically, they were really all Yechidim at that particular point in time. Halachically, they functioned as individuals. Here in Parshas Kisavo, we are about to enter into Eretz Yisrael. As we're about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, so there, the Gemara tells us, when you enter into Eretz Yisrael, we're Mechadish a din. What din is that? The din of Arvus, of Kol Yisrael, our raven, Zelazeh, that when we enter Eretz Yisrael, that's when we really become one integrated unit. That idea of Klal Yisrael gets strengthened in a very intense way right before we enter into Eretz Yisrael, where some of the Rishonim explained the din of Arvus, that if you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah, so I haven't yet even fully fulfilled my mitzvah, and that's why Yatza Motzi. That's why I can be Motzi. So Rishon Rashan explained it that way. We are so integrated, we're so one, and that point of Arvus is highlighted most explicitly in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the place where Klal Yisrael, as an integrated unit, it's felt most intensely. That's a tshuva of the Avin Nezer. It's a bunch of Rambams in different places that Eretz Yisrael integrates Klal Yisrael in that way. What are the two brisim that we're talking about? There's a bris at Har Sinai. There's a bris in Parshas Kosai. Each individual member of Klal Yisrael has a particular bris. There's another bris, the bris of all of Klal Yisrael as a unit. That bris of all of Klal Yisrael as a unit, so that becomes binding on every single member of Klal Yisrael, not only those that are there, but also in future generations. Because if it's made with individuals, so maybe I wasn't an individual present in Maimon Har Sinai. When it's made with the entity of Klal Yisrael, so anyone that happens to come, even at a later point, as part of Klal Yisrael, that's binding on the entity of Klal Yisrael. If an individual makes a bris, it's incumbent upon you. If a nation makes a bris and you have to be born afterwards, that bris is still binding in many ways. That's why the Torah tells us in the beginning of Parsh Nitzavim, which is that this bris is one which is v'lo etzchem levadchem anochi koreis ha-bris hazos v'asa eila hazos kes asher yeshnu po hayom omed ha-esher yeshnu po imanu omed hayom lefnei Hashem lokenu v'asa asher einenu po imanu hayom. That the bris of Nitzavim is binding on everybody because we're part of Klal Yisrael. So three mehalchem. There are, what's the difference between the bris of Chorev and the bris of Arvas Moab, the bris of Michal Kosai and the bris of Parsh Kisavo, the Abarbanel? This one in Kisavo we bought into. The first, we were forced into. Second idea of Rav Hirsch. The first was a bris predicated on unbelievable miracles. This bris is predicated on the knowledge of Hashem's Hashgacha over all the things in this world, even when it's not wildly miraculous. Salvechik, the first bris was a bris which was incumbent upon individual members of Klal Yisrael. The second bris, before we have the Arvus of entering Eretz Yisrael, is one that is Chal most intensely on the entity of Klal Yisrael. That becomes binding on us. Hence, we have different brisim. Have a wonderful rest of your day.